Hi, and welcome to the White House Open for Questions live chat with the White House Fellows Program. Today, I'm joined by Cindy Mullis. Cindy, why don't you introduce yourself and the Fellows?
Thank you, Casey. Thanks for hosting us today. My name is Cindy Mullis. I'm the director of the White House Fellows Program. I'm here with two former Fellows joining us to answer your questions, Anish Mahajan and Erica Jeffries. Thank you for joining us today. Anish was part of the class of 2009-2010. He is currently assistant professor in the David Geffen School of Medicine at UCLA. Erica Jeffries just completed her White House Fellows year in 2010-2011, and she is currently the director in the office of the Chief Financial Officer at the EPA. So thanks a lot for coming and joining us.
Yeah, and thanks, Cindy. So today we'll be taking questions live from both our White House Facebook account and our White House Twitter account. Please submit your questions at any time using the hashtag WHFellows. Sydney, before we start, why don't you tell us a little bit about the program?
Okay. Well, I'm confident that many people watching today have possibly visited our website already, but I encourage you to do so if you haven't. I also encourage you to talk to people who have gone through the program. The reason Anish and Erica are with us today is because they are really the best people to answer your questions about how much you can get out of the program. But I will give a brief overview. The program was founded in 1964 by President Johnson and John Gardner, who at the time was the president of the Carnegie Corporation. Its mission was really to encourage highly motivated and talented young emerging leaders from all different fields to consider coming to Washington, being placed at a high level in government, and getting hands-on experience. The fellowship is further developed, besides the work placement, into an opportunity to meet with private and public leaders from all over Washington and all over the country in small roundtable gatherings. The fellows also have an opportunity to meet with the president, the vice president, the first lady, as well as many journalists, CEO executives, many others that can teach us a lot about public service leadership. In addition, we get several opportunities through the year to be able to travel and see federal policy in action. It's a highly competitive program. Each year, only 11 to 19 people are chosen, and that was designed by President Johnson. It's a nonpartisan program. It has been supported by the last nine presidents, and President Obama has embraced the program and has been extremely supportive, has met with every class, and has asked his cabinet members to support the program as well. I can mention that the fellowship, I believe, benefits both each individual that participates as well as the government, because we're bringing in talented people like Anish and Erica who contribute to where they're placed. One goal of the program is really to educate future leaders so they can go back into their community with a new tool, the understanding of federal government, some of the challenges that are involved in federal government. I'll also mention that we have some prestigious alumni that I'm sure many of you can recognize. General Colin Powell has been through the program, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, Secretary Henry Cisneros, author historian Doris Kearns Goodwin, CNN President Cesar Conde, as well as General Wes Clark and Secretary Elaine Chao. Governor Sam Brownback is also an alumni of the program, and we're very proud of all of those people who have come through the program and in the future have gone on to contribute in very important ways. So we welcome you to learn more about the program, and we encourage you to apply, and we'd love to see you in DC next year. So we're going to answer some more of your questions.
And if you have any further questions about the internship program, you can always log on to www.whitehouse.gov/fellows. So why don't we start with a question from our Facebook page. This is from Faye Pappas, and he wants to know, how do you apply to become a White House Fellow? And I think you can answer that best, Cindy.
Okay, so the application process, as I've mentioned, is quite competitive. You go online, it is self-driven. So if you feel that you would make a good White House Fellow, you go online, you look at the application. I encourage you really to review it carefully. It tries to be very thoughtful. It's very time consuming, as both Anish and Erica will tell you in terms of their experience. You also need three recommenders, and we encourage you to get recommenders from diverse places. Once you've applied, you go into a three-tier process. Would you like me to describe the process?
Yeah,
would that
just
be helpful?
A little bit, yeah.
So, depending on the number of applications, every application is read two or three times by staff and former fellows. It's read to see if you have a high score in five criteria areas. I'll go through that in a minute. But just to talk about the three-tier process, after your application is read by several readers, if you're in the top 100 to 120 candidates, you'll be asked and invited to a regional panel. We ask civic leaders from around the country to participate in these regional panels. They volunteer to participate. You will then be assigned to a region, hopefully close to your hometown or where you're currently living, because it is at your own expense that you have to get to the regional panel. The panels take place in March and April. It's a day of interviews and an evening together. And you get to meet 12 civic leaders from that community. If you score high within your panel and are sent to DC, you're among 30 of the finalists. If you're part of the 30 finalists, you'll come to DC in June and you'll meet with the President's Commission on White House Fellows. The commissioners were appointed by President Obama. There are 26 national leaders, people like Tom Brokaw, Senator Daschle, Helene Gayle, and I can mention all of them. They all are well-known names and incredibly inspiring leaders in their own field. And I think Erica and Anish will both agree that it's both an exhilarating but intimidating process. Do you remember going through the process?
Absolutely.
Never forget it.
Yeah.
And I think everyone who has gone through it has really encouraged others to go through it, because even the process itself pushes you to reflect. It really pushes you to know where you're going in your career and what you'd like to do. So that's the three-tier process. I don't think I forgot anything. Did I forget anything in terms of what you guys had to go through?
There's a lot of subtext, but that was good.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I'm just going to mention the five criteria, and I'm going to read them because I think that everybody should understand what people are, how they're reviewing your application. And these are criteria that came about in President Johnson's times. A record of remarkable professional achievement early in one's career. Evidence of leadership skills and the potential for further growth. A demonstrated commitment to public service. The skills to succeed at the highest level of the federal government, and the ability to work effectively as part of a team. Because part of the fellowship really is working with the other people who have been chosen as fellows. And a very important part of the fellowship is that.
Okay, great. Well, let's take our second question, which is going to come from Twitter. And at any time, please submit your questions via Twitter at hashtag WHFellows. This question comes from the Harris Walker, and he's asking, and this question has come up a couple times, is the White House Fellowship Program for more seasoned professionals? What kind of are you looking for in a candidate?
Do you guys want to talk a little bit about your classes and the range of experiences that people had? Is that something
Sure.
you're comfortable with?
So my class, the ages range from 29 to 42, and as you will see on the website, it does say, I think, that the White House Fellows Program looks for seasoned professionals, and we haven't quite figured out what that means, but I think it means that we have each had some success within our own fields. My class had 4 very accomplished doctors. We had 4 active duty military personnel. We had a couple of professors who were all very accomplished and published. So in each, I think, class, and especially within my own class, because I could speak to my class best, certainly each member of the class had achieved success in their own field and had experience at all different ages. So I think it was a pretty wide range of ages. I don't know about your class.
I think our experience was very similar to that. We had a broad range of disciplines and professions represented. And I think one of the most distinguishing features of a program like this is that you're thrown together with highly accomplished people from a variety of professions and disciplines. And that makes for something very exciting when everybody's goal is to try and understand how they can contribute to public service and government service.
Great. And there was a follow-up question just posted on Twitter from Mark Harris. And he wants to know, basically, bachelor's, master's, what kind of degrees and what kind of past experience are you guys looking for?
So a bachelor's is required, but that is only what's required. Quite often you'll see that people are professionals. We do have doctors and lawyers in the group, but also many people without a advanced degree. I would say it's really about putting together an application that shows why you are an emerging leader in your field. It's not really the degree that matters. It's actually the experience and what you've done with your degrees. So would you say that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Next question is going to come from Twitter as well, and it's by Lauren Cuseni, and she asks, if selected, how do I get my work placement?
So that is, first of all, I should say that no one should start coming to this program because they want to work in a specific place. I think that's a very big mistake. If you would like to work in the Department of Education, you should apply, you should go for that job. I encourage you to come into federal government. But the fellowship itself is really an opportunity to explore and expand your horizons. So what we encourage and we tell everyone is that you cannot have that expectation coming into the program. What you can have is an expectation that the placement that you do get will be a good match, even if it doesn't seem as consistent. I should mention that Erica Jeffries, who came in as a business person, ended up at the EPA, learning a lot. I'm going to ask you to talk a little bit about your placement in a minute. And Anish, who is a doctor, was placed at the Office of Management and Budget. And I think they both had tremendously wonderful experiences, at least the people who worked with them felt that way. The placement does happen in July. After you're chosen, you're invited back to DC, and the office is in charge of putting together an interview schedule. We based it on some of your interests, and we also base it on the departments and the White House agencies that are interested in meeting with you. Most fellows consistently have gotten 7 or more interviews during their time. Some are surprises, and some are consistent with their professions. And I would say about half of the fellows are placed in a department that is consistent with their profession, and probably half are placed in some place that really stretches their boundaries. So would you like to talk a little bit about your placements? And
sure. So Cindy, you're correct, obviously. I did come from the business world. I was in the consulting world, but specifically I was in the defense and national security realm. So going to the Environmental Protection Agency was a huge leap of faith, really. And I always say they took a risk on me just as much as I took a risk on them. It was an opportunity, I felt, to spend a year really broadening myself and expanding my portfolio and having new experiences and new opportunities to learn things that I had never been exposed to before, and it really was a great choice. I would definitely do it again. I don't regret it in any way. I have had an amazing experience at the EPA, and because of it, I've actually now am expanding my portfolio into the environmental realm a little bit. So it not only gave me new experiences, but a great education and really transformed what I'm most interested in, so.
Yeah, I would say that my experience is very similar. As a physician and a health policy expert, I thought that I would most likely end up at a place like the Department of Health and Human Services or the Department of Veteran Affairs, and I would have been thrilled to do that. But it turned out that I ended up at the Office of Management and Budget, and I think that made for the most unique and probably the best experience I could have had for the year. And the reason really is that when I was hired to work at OMB, they certainly take care of the entire federal budget, and health reform was about to happen. And their feeling was that having someone like me there who understood sort of healthcare policy, but also had taken care of patients, would be really useful for them, because they're dealing with so many significant budgetary issues around healthcare. And so it turned out that my experience at OMB was one of being a sort of health policy clinician with experience, and it enabled me to sort of help OMB work with the other departments like HHS and Veteran Affairs and making policy and budget decisions that made the most sense.
And I think you both have mentioned that in your future, in the last couple of years that you've left Anish, you've actually taken what you've learned and applied it in California now. You've gone back.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the people at HHS that work at the federal government, I sort of know who they are. They know me. We come from the same sort of cloth. But since I spent the year at OMB, I learned a great deal about regulation. I learned a great deal about budgets and things that people in my profession are not necessarily exposed to. And so that has given me an enormous sort of insight, a unique insight that's helped me sort of try and do very new things in California.
Okay, great. Fun question came in from our form before we went live. And this question is, do you still keep in touch with your classmates? I think both could answer that.
Absolutely. I think literally I have 12 new best friends, and I'm not just saying that. We have a Google group that we set up now, and we send emails all the time. A friend of mine, or a classmate of mine, is in town this week. We had dinner, you know, we have lunches for those that are still in the area, so definitely. And I know that I'm gonna stay in touch with them for the rest of our lives, so, and that's really the best part about the fellowship, is the friendships that you make and that you'll have for a lifetime.
So yeah, absolutely. The year is a really intense year, and so far we've been talking about our individual work placements, but a big part of the fellowship is the time you spend with the other fellows.
Absolutely.
And so that includes things like travel, meeting with very sort of significant leaders from both inside and outside of government together. And so you know, inevitably it's a really exciting and intense way to get to know people, and at the end of it, you know, they almost become like your family.
They
and
do.
So,
absolutely.
You know, we have these links, and I'm about a little more than a year out, and I've been in town for a couple of days, and six or seven of us are still here in Washington, and we had dinner, and we were comparing notes, and always in touch electronically, but even when we have a chance to get together physically, we do.
Mm-hmm. And I would say that's also true of the 650 other alumni who are not here right now. I think every year there's a big annual conference. I think the Alumni Association works very hard in keeping people connected, and it's a wonderful network even outside of your own class.
That's wonderful. Tyler Voss via Twitter has a question. He wants to know how you two prepared for your interviews. Were you nervous? What did you do to kind of prep yourself?
Well, you looked at me, so I guess
I'll answer first.
I did different preparation for the different interview processes. So for the regional finals, I was very focused on current events, you know, studying all I could about Congress and the structure of state and local government, and then the structure of federal government and the agencies and the secretaries. And I'm probably not the best person to ask, because I just inundated myself with as much as I could about federal government, the people who were in the government, and current policy, that major policy that was ongoing at that time. In hindsight, I think a better way to prepare would have been really to focus on myself, because what I learned through the application process, and very much so in the nationals process, was to know myself, because that's what the regional panelists want to know, and that's what the commissioners want to know. Who are you, and why should you be a White House fellow? So I think that's the best way to prepare, is to really think about why you want to be a White House fellow, what you have done in your career that sets you apart, what you have done in your life, what's your story? And much of the application sort of asks those questions. So being very familiar with your application, being very familiar with your own personal goals and your own personal desires, and being very in touch and very honest with your own challenges, I think that's the best way to prepare, because they want to see who you are and whether or not you would be a good fit for the program.
The other thing that applicants can do, and I think is very important, is that you should speak with previous fellows. Mm-hmm. And previous fellows are very happy and open to talking with potential applicants about the application process. Mm-hmm. I agree with everything Erica said, and to some extent it's also very useful to get examples of how these things play out, and you can do that from previous fellows. The only thing I would add to what Erica said is you want to know and be able to articulate what really is your passion, and how that passion connects to public service. And I think that, you know, certainly there is some amount of preparation related to current events, but if you're already applying for this and you feel like you're good enough to apply, you probably already know all
right,
the current events
exactly.
that you need to know.
Okay, great.
The only thing I would add to that too is that kind of what Anisha already said, which was to practice. I think it really, you think you have an answer down in your head, but until you're sitting across yeah. from someone and actually saying it out loud, I think it makes a huge difference. So I did do several mock interviews with former fellows and just with friends who listen to me answer questions. So that's another thing that I would try to do also.
I would add, I would emphasize, be true to yourself, know yourself, which is what both of you said. But I also don't want to discount, Erica and Anish both came in with a high degree of knowledge. I'm sure they were reading the newspaper every day. It's important, even if it's not what ultimately will convince the judges. It's kind of an assumption. And if you can't get to that assumption, they won't get to the next level. So please, I encourage you, you know, be well read. If you know, make sure you do know current events. These are very impressive people that you'll be meeting with on the other side, and they want to be equally impressed by you.
I think one of my most striking experiences related to that is that a lot of the questions were about how I thought about things outside my area of expertise. So being able to speak intelligently about, for me, you know, I was asked questions about the judiciary, and you know, I don't spend much time thinking about the judiciary in my job, I wasn't certainly expected to know sort of the ins and outs of how Supreme Court justices are selected, but I was expected to have an opinion and be able to defend my opinion. And so to the extent that you do prepare about knowing about current events, you do want to think about sort of what your positions are on big issues the country is facing.
Okay, great. So I have a follow-up question, and a lot of people want to know what you asked, what was your policy recommendation to the president? Do you remember?
Yes, so I was coming into the fellowship, or I was applying for the fellowship before health reform passed, but there was a great deal of excitement. President Obama had been in office for 6 months and had made it a priority that we were going to try and pass health reform. So my memo was about one aspect about of the healthcare system that I thought was going to be left out of health reform. And so I tried to write a memo describing what I thought the federal government should do on that particular issue.
Do you remember yours?
My memo was actually, I had just completed a study for a client about the threat to national security for coming from water scarcity. So I kind of wrote my memo as a recommendation to the president that he should spend more time focusing on the threat that could be posed by water scarcity or agricultural scarcity in various parts of the world and how that could be a threat to our national security.
We actually have a fellow this year whose memo has been brought up to his placement, and he's trying to actually get it implemented, and they're supporting that. So that's been interesting.
Cool. That's exciting.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to actually take the next question. It came in from Steel Magnolia, and she asks, where can I find the links with all the information on the White House Fellows Program? Magnolia, you can find it at whitehouse.gov/about/fellows. Next question, I think you've touched on it a bit, but what was your motivation for applying, and what did you get out? What experiences stick out the most in your mind?
I'll let you take this one first.
Okay. I think there were several things that motivated me, and first was really a desire to be in a role that allowed me to contribute to public service. I have always had a passion for it. I'm former military, and I wanted an opportunity to not only be a part of public service, but to do it in a very unique and very special way, really, which the White House Fellows Program allows, to see federal policy and decision making at the highest levels of government is an outstanding opportunity, and I thought, this is my chance. So that was the primary reason I applied. Secondly, I had really come to a place in my career where I felt that I needed a change, and because of that, I wanted to challenge myself in a new way, and I thought this was an opportunity. I had learned about the program many years ago when I was actually in college from a former professor who was a White House fellow. And I thought, wow, this is a great program. I want to apply. And I actually thought about applying about 7 years before I did. And I called that same professor, and he said, no, I don't think you're ready. And I was like, really? I'm not ready. But I waited, and I took some time, and I had more work experiences and contributed to my community in other ways. And I thought, now is the time. And I called that professor again in the beginning of 2010, and he said, yeah, I think it's a good time to apply. And so I did, and I think it was one of the best decisions I've made.
For me, the motivation really was to try and understand how federal policy is made and how to optimize the connection between federal government action on healthcare and other social issues with sort of local policies, so city and county and state. For me, it was working in healthcare policy. I had realized that so much of what we did in California and Southern California depended on how the federal government interacted with us, and so that was one of my primary motivations, was to try and get here and understand how that link works, and to try and see if I could learn lessons and bring it back to where I live and work. Secondly, I really wanted to get out of my comfort zone. I had felt like I had spent many years studying healthcare and healthcare systems and trying to make change at the local level, but I felt a gap in sort of my leadership and public service training. I felt like I wanted to spend some time with people who had sort of done enormously interesting and exciting things at the federal level and in government. And the White House Fellows Program, from when I was probably in your shoes reading the website and talking with people about it, seemed like a really great way to do that.
Okay, our next question is going to come from Twitter, from Q Chasson 13. And He wants to know, what is the typical age, which we've kind of touched on, but also the experience breakdown of White House fellows? So beyond you two, what is your class as a whole?
Well, let me just mention the age issue, because when the program first began, there was actually, part of the criteria was an age criteria. It was 25 to 35. And again, the goal was emerging leaders in their field. In the 70s, that age criteria was taken away. There was no longer any mention of age, and there is no, you know, specific set age group. I would encourage you to think about whether you are already a leader, because quite often later in life you've actually become a leader in your field. This is a program that really is an extra tool in your toolbox, and you actually have to move to DC. You become a federal employee, you give up all the other pieces of your life for that year. You cannot stay on boards, you can't make extra income. There are very specific rules for federal employees. So you have to figure out if it's a moment in your life where this particular program would really add a level of knowledge and you know, all the things that you've heard about to what you're trying to achieve, and you will go out and be a better leader for it. So that's towards the age issue. You are going to find a range, and Erica and Anish can talk about their own class, but you will find a range of people. You know, if you're 28, you're going to have different experiences than if you're 42. And so a really wonderful part of the fellowship, as both Anish and Erica have mentioned, is that you share those experiences, and that you become part of this group of diverse professions who support each other in their wish to improve our nation and to continue to do public service, whatever their future jobs are.
Yeah, I would say that it's hard to generalize about, you know, what your experience needs to be in terms of, you know, your qualification for the program. What I found in my class and in other fellows that I've met from other classes is that people have done really incredible things in their career. The physicians that I know, I can certainly understand their experience a lot better because I'm a physician. And, you know, to a person, I find that they've done very eclectic things, but done them with a lot of distinction and done really great things. And I think for other members of my class from other professions, you know, I sit in awe a lot of times hearing about, as I got to know them more over the year, about the things that they've accomplished. So it's hard to generalize, but I think you yourself would know to what extent that you feel that you've had experiences that have made you into a leader or have put you on a path of leadership. And I think if you've gotten that and you think that's the case, then you should definitely apply.
I think the only thing I would add to that, I totally agree with what both Cindy and Anish have said. I think to continue what Anish said, was looking at someone's bio, you think, okay, I know this person's a physician or they're a lawyer or whatever the case may be, but over the course of the year, getting to know your classmates, and all the prior classes are the same, I'm sure, you just find that they've had such incredible experiences, whether somebody spent time in South Africa or somebody was, you know, giving vaccines in Thailand, or whether they were building houses in Delhi or whatever the case may be. I mean, everyone has had such unique experiences that are outside of their profession. So while they may be very accomplished professionally, and they are, they also have a sort of well-roundedness that allows them to, that you learn about their community service, their public engagement, their international engagement, that just really sets these people apart. I was very privileged, I felt, to be a member of my class, because my classmates were just absolutely outstanding people aside from their professions.
Okay, great. So I think I want to ask the next question. I'm interested in what a typical day, as typical as we can get, in the life of both of you as White House fellows. Is that a hard one?
No, not at all. A typical day. It starts early, and you're expecting to spend a lot of hours at your work placement. So for me, I spent a lot of hours at the EEOB, the Eisenhower Executive Office Building, at the OMB offices. It meant attending meetings. It meant sort of depending on what the issue of the day was, what the office was focused on, you know, participating in meetings, interacting with other agencies. And then a lot of times it meant stepping away from the office in the middle of the day for an hour or two to join my colleagues, my White House Fellow colleagues at the White House Fellow's office, and with Cindy, and meet with a speaker. And Cindy referred to this in the beginning, but speakers are anybody from the First Lady or the President to a secretary head, and to have an off-the-record conversation with the speaker about leadership and about just about anything we wanted to talk about. And then it would be going back to the office at OMB and getting back to work. And in the evening, hopefully, a drink with your colleagues.
I think my day was pretty similar to that. I think, you know, at EPA, we start pretty early. There are lots of meetings. We do a lot of interagency work. So whether I would have to go to another department for a meeting or whatever the case may be, but the best part, really, I don't know if your class did it the same way our class did, but twice a week, twice a week, we would have a one-hour lunch with, as Anish mentioned, some very interesting, accomplished person where we could just ask whatever we wanted to ask. So I would say pretty similar experience. I mean, it's certainly the issue of the day, whatever the day brings, because you never know. I did get to do a little bit of traveling with EPA, but it totally depends.
And we should also mention,
We
should also mention that a big part of the experience is traveling with the White House Fellows colleagues. Mm-hmm. And so you make policy trips, two domestic policy trips, and one international trip, which are usually focused around a particular set of policy issues that the Fellows sort of collectively decide upon. But that's also a very big part of the experience, and you actually leave Washington as a group, and you get to meet with local leaders at the location that you're going to really try and get into the questions of policy as they occur on the ground.
You know, I want to add to that and say that everyone is in a different agency or a different department or one of the offices in the White House, and many people are having different experiences. You know, a typical day is hard to describe, I'm sure. If you had talked to some people in the class, they would have described possibly a little bit more travel or possibly being on one issue versus 10 issues. I think everybody has a slightly different experience, but the wonderful thing about the fellowship is that everyone comes together at the happy hour or at a lunch and is able to share those experiences and both the challenges of the experiences as well as the high points. So this year's class has made a decision every time they get together for a business meeting, which we do once a month, to do a high and a low, to share what's really been a wonderful experience and what's been a challenge, and allow their classmates to, you know, sort of help them reflect on it.
Okay, so we're winding down, and I want to leave everybody with a piece of advice. So what is your one piece of advice for everybody tuning in that is interested and may apply to the White House Fellows Program soon? You want to start?
Okay.
I'm glad you asked.
I guess my advice would be, you know, talk to lots of previous fellows, talk to other people that have applied. They're the best resource to you in terms of trying to understand how to put the application together, whether you think you're qualified for the program, and whether the program's right for you. Generally speaking, I tell people that you absolutely have to consider the program if you're at all interested, and then figure out if it's the right fit for you, and go for it.
I think that's great advice. I think the only thing I would add to that would be to really take the time to be honest in your application. That application is very comprehensive, and it's an opportunity that I thought was extraordinary, because how often do you get to sit down and really think about what you're passionate about? So I took a long time with my application, so don't wait to the last minute. Because it takes time to really reflect on the questions that are posed in the application, and I would just say allow yourself enough time to really give very solid answers and search yourself, because what you think might be your passion may not be when you really dig into what you care about and what you've learned over your life's experiences. So I think that would be it.
I'm going to encourage people to learn more, to not be intimidated. I mean, you know, sometimes you look at resumes and you say, I don't fit into that category. And I can tell you honestly that there's such diversity in what a public service leader looks like. You know, if you're somebody who's a leader in the arts, but yet for the last 2 years you haven't seen anybody in the arts, don't be intimidated. I encourage you, please apply. You'll get a lot out of it. As long as Erica says, you're honest with yourself about what your motivation is, what your passion is, what you expect to get out of the program. This is really, it's both a gift to the fellows from the taxpayers, but it's also a gift to the federal government to have diverse, talented people come here. be interested in how federal government works, and then go out and share that with other people. So my advice is please look at the website. If you think that there is any interest and there's a good match, apply. Even the process that I've heard from people who only possibly get to the regionals or get to the finals but don't get chosen, they meet an incredible group of colleagues with the same passion and the same interests. And the process itself has helped people really understand their goals better. So I'm just going to encourage you to apply if you even think that there's a chance that this is a good fit.
Okay, and when is the application deadline?
So the application has gone live. It was November 1st that it went live. The deadline is January 13th. At close of business, which is 5:59 Eastern Standard. So I just want everybody to understand that. I ask you not to wait to the last minute, but I know quite often that's the case. But understand that there are no exceptions made. So I apologize in advance, and I hope we get to see you in D.C. soon.
Yeah. So if you have any more questions, you can always go to www.whitehouse.gov/about/fellows. And do you have any closing words for us?
I just want to thank Anish and Erica for joining us,
thank you
for hosting this.
You're
this
welcome.
Is a really wonderful opportunity.
Any parting words?
No. Apply. Apply. That's
okay.
My parting words.
Thank you all for joining in, and please catch us next time on the White House Open for Questions.